Well, good morning. My name is Trevor Kaufman. If you came in late, I'm the campus pastor here at South Creek. We're a campus of Revive Wesleyan, and it's good to be here with you. And today we're going to conclude our series of Traveling Light. We've been looking at this idea, looking through Psalm 23, the fact that God's desire and intention for us is to not walk through this life with burdens and the pressures of the world on top of our shoulders like so many of us have. And regardless if we're Christians or we're non-Christians, we all have worries, we all have struggles, we all have burdens. But if we have called Jesus Christ our personal Lord and Savior, we can, in fact, release those to him. He asks us to do that. We don't have to carry those. He wants to carry those for us. In this crazy, uneven exchange, as he takes the weight of our life and lets us experience the freedom and the peace that he has to offer. And so we just have to intentionally do that. But we've looked over the course of the past couple weeks on these different burdens that can often get in our way as we've sort of walked through Psalm 23. The first was the burden of weariness and worry. The fact that God has designed us to have to rest, to need to rest each day, each week, and even annually. And then last week, we looked at the burden of fear. And we had this incredible opportunity last week to stream into McKinley and listen to Pastor Shep, Andre Clark from the East Side New Direction Fellowship preached to us. And I'm telling you, if you missed last week, I am sorry for you. Seriously, I know we streamed service and everything, and that's, sometimes that's like, it's not as good as something live. He preached in a way that I will never be able to. And you have got to go online and look at last week's message if you did, in fact, miss it. It's outstanding. I say that a lot, but I'm not kidding. If you don't watch last week's message, you're truly missing out. And it was a pleasure to be able to welcome him into our spaces as we've had a long-lasting relationship with him for the last several years. And so it was just great for him to be able to come in and share his heart with us. And so hoping to go to his place and share there for once in a while. We may even invite him on a missions trip here or two with us. And so it's just a great relationship. But he preaches in a way that I'm not able to. But I'm me, and that's good. God's using me in my way. But anyway, as we continue this morning, I want to remind us of what Jesus does, in fact, tell us to do, to carry the fact that he wants to carry these burdens for us. So let's look at Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We've referenced this already in the past, but let me read it one more time to remind us. Come to me, this is Jesus speaking, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Just that sentence alone sounds very peaceful and something that I think we all desire to have in our life. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He wants us to walk through this life without the burden and chaos of the worries and struggles of the world. We will, in fact, have them, but we can go to him with them. So we looked at weariness and worry. We looked at fear. And today we're going to look at the burden of loneliness. The burden of loneliness. And I think you and I, at different times in our life, have experienced it. And we're going to kind of look at a few different angles of it and how we experience it. And we're going to continue to learn from David as he sort of addresses this idea that we've already talked about up until now, the fact that God wants to, in fact, be with us, that he is with us as we walk through the journey of life that we're on. But to remind us where we're at, I want to read Psalm 23, 1 through 4. And I'd like us to stand together as we did a couple weeks ago and read this together, and then we'll continue in just a minute. So let's stand one more time. We're going to read Psalm 23, verses 1 through 4 specifically. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You can have a seat. I think, again, to be reminded of the fact that he is doing all of the work in this. He is enough for us, and that includes our loneliness. That includes our desire for friends, our desire for spouses and significant others. That includes that, and he can fulfill that need in our lives in some unique ways that nobody else can, and we'll continue to talk about that as well. But he, as we release these burdens to him, as we give them the things of this life that are troubling us, he, not us ourselves, but he leads us, doesn't lie to us, leads us beside still waters and into green pastures. And we learned that he is in fact with us. And because of that, we don't have to fear evil. Last week, Shep used this beautiful illustration of one time when he was younger, he was being bullied. And all of a sudden, his brother came into the room. And all of a sudden, he stood with new confidence because his brother was with him. And that's the confidence that you and I can stand in when we're faced with trials and issues and burdens in this life. Whether it's weariness or fear or loneliness, we have God the Father with us and fighting for us. And this rings true in our loneliness as well. God is our shepherd. We lack nothing. These are the words that David says, and this includes the intimacy of friendship and relationship. And so we know, we've seen, and we'll continue to learn this morning, that God is a companion now and forever to combat loneliness. Now and forever to combat loneliness. So I want to look at the last couple of verses of Psalm 23 specifically as we continue in this. And so verses 5 and 6 say this. We're going to read all of it in entirety at the end of the service, but I want to read verses 5 and 6 for us now as we continue. It says this, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, the beginning of this, verse 5, it's very interesting. It says, the Lord prepares a place for you to be present with him. He prepares a place for us to be with him. Now, the interesting thing, because God is omnipotent and omnipresent and all of these other omni words that are large, he can be in all places at all times and do all sorts of things. And so he can walk with us through the valley. He can walk with us through the issues. He can take our burdens in this life. And simultaneously, he can be preparing a table for us to celebrate victory over all of these issues and burdens. And that's where this idea of preparing a table and the fact that we get to dwell with him in the presence of our enemies. I always wonder, like, why are our enemies at this table? I don't want them there. But it's actually like a punch in their face. It's like the kill punch. Because they're there and they're seeing the fact that they had absolutely no effect on our life. And so we walk through this life and the enemy of weariness, the enemy of worry, the enemy of fear, the enemy of loneliness sit at this table and realize they were not able to take us out of the purposes that God had for our life. Now, yes, there may be times that we find ourselves struggling, that we find ourselves feeling like we're becoming weaker and weaker, but it's those times that we can turn to God and claim the fact that he, and only him, as we've already seen in this psalm, has the power to pull us through. And so I looked online for I wanted to see another commentary on this verse, and it put it together very beautifully in this, and so I want to read this. It says this about verse 5. It says, "It is then, after you leave the valley, that you will find his holy table. The table illustrates abundance, satisfactions, and everlasting love. God's people can feast at his table of endless love and grace, and no enemy of any sort can ever take it away from you. They can only feel annoyed that you were victorious and prosperous in spite of them." I mean, just really think about that. Just think about that scene for a minute. I mean, it's intense, right? You're sitting in the presence of the Lord and you're gloating to the enemy that they failed and that the Lord is victorious. That is what we want to live this life like. Constantly reminding ourselves and being reminded that he is in control and that we do not have to feel defeated. And when we feel like we're in this valley, he is in fact there with us. And he's anticipating a time in which we will come out the other side and celebrate with him. So that's what we get to experience. And so we see this progression of intimacy when we talk about loneliness, this progression that takes place, the fact that God is with us in the midst of our issues, the fact that he is enough for us, the fact that we have to acknowledge that and remember that, the fact that he wants to sit at a table in our presence and celebrate with us, both now and forever. But then it even gets more intimate, actually, because it moves into the sense of touch. It says that he anoints our head with oil. But what in the world does that mean? He anoints our head with oil. You may think, well, that doesn't make any sense to culture today. Remember, we use this analogy of the shepherd. This was a commonplace profession in the day. David himself was a shepherd. And so anybody who read this or sung this psalm in a public setting would be able to easily put together the fact that God the Father is, in fact, the shepherd, and he provides for us and all of that. Well, it would have been the same for this anointing of oil, the intimacy that God desires to have with us, because this was customary in ancient Eastern tradition. Individuals would come into a guest's home, and part of the hospitality was to anoint the guest with oil. The oil would be mixed with fragrances and certain spices that would allow this weary traveler who's entering in as a guest to be able to rest. And we've been talking about rest. And I think oftentimes in life we are weary and we want to rest. And God is there for us, and he wants to show us the intimacy that he has for us through that, even through the anointing of our heads with oil. And yes, it's an image, it's a word picture for this purpose, but this would have had strong cultural implications as it was written in that day. And we also see as this continues that this is now and forever. It's both now and not yet. We get to experience this celebration even now if we choose to understand the reality of Jesus in our life. But it doesn't just end there. We don't just have dinner and then move on. We sit in the presence of the Lord from now into eternity. And I think that's an incredible reality. So I want to talk a little bit about loneliness specifically, because here's the thing with loneliness. Loneliness is not about the absence of people. It's about the absence of intimacy or closeness with others. It's not about the absence of people. It's about the lack of intimacy or closeness with others. Because you and I can feel very lonely in crowded rooms. It's interesting because about 2,000 years ago, there's estimated to be about 250 million people on the planet. Today, there are about 7.7 billion people on the planet. So if you thought that, you know, loneliness had to do with how many people are around, you'd think that it would have gone away by now because there's so many people on the planet. Interesting side note, and now this doesn't have any super deep meaning for the message today, but I think it's an interesting fact that you're going to enjoy. 7.7 billion people on the planet. My family and I last month were on this trip across the country, and there were about 100 or maybe 1,000 miles in which we drove through literally nothing. Absolute barren nothingness. As far as your eye could see, you couldn't see a tree, you couldn't see a house, you couldn't see an individual. It was actually scary because I was like, if we break down out here, we are done for. No cell reception, just nothing. And so we're thinking to ourselves, 7.7 billion people on the earth, but there sure is a lot of nothingness out here, and this is just this part of the country. It's like this all over the world. So we thought, how much space would it take for the entire population to actually fill one location? I don't know if you've ever done this, but it's actually interesting. So if you give the entire world's population, 7.7 billion people, 2 square feet to stand, right? You're not going to be able to function like this, but just to get everybody packed into a room, 2 square feet, and you actually did the math for that. We looked this up. It's crazy how much space the entire world's population would take up. I don't know if you've done this, but this is how much space it would take up. Half the state of Rhode Island. Did anybody know that already? Half the state of Rhode Island would fit the entire world's population. Standing front to front, side to side, you can't live your life like that, but that's how much space. It's crazy. Look it up. It's like it equates to 550-some square miles. It's ridiculous. So, again, that's probably going to be the only thing you remember from this entire message, and it has nothing to do with anything important, other than the fact that the world has still got some space left in it. So, but the reality is that you and I can feel alone in crowded places, right? So my family felt alone in those places that were desolate, but I feel alone in crowded places all the time. A couple weeks ago, I went to the fair. My family went to the fair. It was a great time, but then they all went off and did their own thing, and then I was kind of hanging out doing my own thing, which I like to do. And then after a while, I was like, oh, I miss my family. I'm kind of like, I feel alone, even though I'm surrounded by thousands of people. Maybe you feel alone at school. Maybe you're dreading the school year because you're afraid that you're not going to make any friends. And even though there's hundreds of people all around you, you're afraid you're going to be isolated and alone. Maybe in your work or your profession, you've worked with a bunch of people, but you're kind of always just seemingly alone. Well, it's because loneliness isn't defined by how many people are around us. It's defined by how we feel at our core. It doesn't come from being alone. It comes from feeling alone. And this is also the part in the message where we were going to sort of acknowledge the fact that sometimes pastors feel pretty lonely. It's very lonely on the top. It's very lonely being in leadership. But it gave me an opportunity to actually count my blessings, because it's something that I have not actually struggled with very much at this congregation. And I want to thank you all for that. I feel truly blessed to be a part of this congregation. Yes, God has directed me to guide and to lead and direct you the best I can through the power of his Holy Spirit. But I'm also still human, and I need you just as much as you need me. Ultimately, you just need God, but as much as you may look to me for anything, I need you just as much. And this became very evident to me even over the course of the past month when my family left. I felt so supported for, I felt so loved, I felt prayed for. People came alongside me, my neighborhood, people came alongside me here at the church and provided for us in so many different ways. And then as I was gone, this church still kept running. You guys did the Corn Fest without me, services ran without me. It's not all about me. And you guys proved that. And so I just wanna thank you, first of all, for that. It's incredible to be a part of this congregation because I truly do feel that I'm a part of it and I'm not alone on an island. So thank you so much. Yes, yes, thank you. And that's how I hope and pray and desire that each and every one of you feel as well. Because it's very easy to sit in this room and still feel alone. And that's the last thing we want for anybody to feel. We'll talk about how we have some intentional steps to move past that towards the end of the message in just a minute. But I think one of the real ways we struggle with this loneliness is because we feel that we can't really actually let anybody in and see who we really are. Because if they see who we really are, they're going to see that we're broken and we're not perfect. And then they're never gonna wanna be around us. But that's just a lie from the enemy, because if people see who you really are, most likely what's gonna happen is they're gonna say, oh, I'm not as broken as I thought I was. Or yes, I am broken, but you're also struggling with this. And this is where the power of community and the body of Christ and accountability comes in. And it's powerful, but so many times we fear that we isolate further and we become lonelier and lonelier because we're afraid to let people in. Men struggle with this a lot. Again, I've had some opportunities for us to get engaged after this as well. But it's something we can't allow ourselves to do. David himself, in writing this psalm, he understood loneliness. He was a shepherd. He was in the field alone. Like I said, loneliness isn't defined by not being around people, but it also can contribute to it. And so he was in the field. He felt alone all the time, but he would continue to pursue God through that. There were times where he was being sought after. His life was being chased and King Saul was trying to take him out. He was hiding in caves. He would have felt pretty lonely then. And there's even times he felt alone and isolated by his own family. And maybe you guys have felt this at times in your life. In 1 Samuel 16, we see the prophet Samuel go to Jesse, which is David's father, and say, I want to see your sons. One of them has been anointed by the Lord for great things ahead of him. And so Jesse, David's father, comes out and he says, yeah, you can look at all my sons. Here's all my 7 sons. They're all here. Check them out. One of them is probably anointed. And Samuel's like, yeah, these are all great. Your sons are great and all, but is there somebody else here still? Somebody's missing. And Jesse, David's father, is like, oh yeah, my son David is. He's back in the other room, but he's just like the runt of the family. He's not what you're looking for. Sure enough, David comes out and Samuel's like, you are the one who's anointed by the Lord. And so in that moment, David felt neglected and forgotten by his very own family. And so many times you and I may feel neglected by our very own family, workplace, our friends, but we don't have to live this life alone. And in the moments like that, we can in fact pursue the Father, because David continually pursued the Father even through his struggles and temptations and issues in life, even through his loneliness and isolation, he pursued the Father. And we can learn from that because he understood and realized that God had not forgotten him. And for you this morning, God hasn't forgotten you either. You are not forgotten. And you may feel as you're going through something, as you're going through an issue, as you're going through a struggle or some sort of a hurdle in life, or you're in the valley, that you're alone, but you're not alone. Our Heavenly Father is there for you. And in fact, in those moments, they can be great opportunities. You see, loneliness and struggles and hurdles in life and the valleys in life can actually be incredible opportunities for us to draw closer to the Lord. And you may think, well, why can't the Lord just not allow me to have these opportunities and just always live a life that's happy? Because the unfortunate thing is because then we just start to believe that we can do things on our own. And the whole idea that God is our shepherd, that he leads us through green pastures and quiet waters, we start to think we can do it ourselves. And so we start to think, and the enemy starts to breathe in lies to us and be like, well, he's just a sadistic God. He wants you to be miserable all the time, and that's how he makes you come to him. The Lord does not desire for us to be miserable. Please hear me. He does not want that. He does not desire that. He never desired that. In fact, from the very beginning of time and creation, he wanted to dwell with his creation. He wanted to dwell with Adam and Eve. He walked with them. He talked with them in the garden, but he desired to be with them so much that he actually wanted them to be able to choose that relationship for themselves. So he gave them the choice, and unfortunately, they chose to do things selfishly their own way. And that's what happened when sin entered into the world and created a chasm between God the Father and his creation. But ever since then, he's been desperately trying to reconcile that relationship with you and me. Through all sorts of Old Testament actions that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, to ultimately sending his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to take away the ultimate burden of all, our sin, upon his shoulders. And so we see this beautiful analogy of the fact that, yes, we are to release our burdens to him, but we can also release the greatest thing of all to him, and that is the burden of sin that holds us down each and every day. Unless we release that to the Lord, he is there to take that. And so there will also be a day that comes when we will be one with the Lord again, like it was in creation. But we also don't have to wait for that to happen. We can celebrate now, just like David says in Psalm 23. We can celebrate now and into eternity in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of our enemies, the fact that they don't have to conquer us, that they don't have to control us, and that we can move forward in victory because of who he is and because of the fact that Jesus came down to earth to take away all our burdens, our loneliness, our weariness, our fear, and ultimately our sin. God hasn't forgotten you. How are you going to use the situations in your life, the loneliness in your life, to actually pursue the Father? Loneliness is actually a good opportunity for us to turn to the Lord and to the close relationship that he offers us now and forever. The Lord is enough. The Lord is enough. David proclaims that in the song, this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And that includes our relationships. Now you may be thinking to yourself, yes, I understand I can go to the Lord, but I desperately, deeply want a physical friend, a physical relationship, a physical spouse. I want somebody there with me. The problem is, though, when we believe that loneliness is this curse from God, then we start to step back further and further, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves not just lonely, but experiencing pure hopelessness. And that's not what God wants us to, wants for us. He wants us to seek him out. And here's the thing. If we choose to intentionally pursue the Father, part of our mission statement here, like I said at the beginning, is to pursue the Father. If we intentionally pursue the Father and allow ourselves to be a part of the body of Christ that is represented in this room that I already explained that I feel a part of, natural relationships and friendships will come out of that. But it's so easy for us to step back and feel isolated and feel alone and feel like we're not worthy. Or we feel like, I can't give my burdens to God. He can't handle them. I talked to somebody just after service, last service, and this was great. He's like, how much can I give God? How many burdens can I give him? It's like, I don't want to bother him with things, but the problem is we define our ability to give things to God by how our ability is to give things to other human beings. You know, I think I can't give all these burdens to my father, or I can't give all these burdens to my teacher or to my boss. You're probably right, you probably can't, but there's no limit to what God can handle in us. And so we can't define how much we can give to the Lord based on how much we think we can give to other human beings around us, because the two don't make sense. The two don't equate. Our Heavenly Father is supernatural, and he can do all things, and he can handle everything that you have. And as you intentionally pursue him, even when you think you're not worthy, even when you think maybe he can't handle it, and you push those lies aside, and you pursue him, and you allow yourself to enter into the body of Christ, relationships will naturally come around you. It will happen. And so we want to give you some opportunities around here. We've said many times that our mission is to pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, and participate with the Holy Spirit. We realize that we can't go out and be effective in our communities unless we first and foremost build up the body here. And so we're going to continue to do that, continue to make opportunities available for you. So starting for the first time in years, we're going to do like a family ministry night. We're going to start this on Tuesday night, September 13th. I would highly encourage you to put this in your calendar, because here's the thing. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't come out and be a part of ministry at church because I've got kids and I can't leave them because they need to be watched, or I've got all these other things in life, or my wife's got something going on. Here, if you were able to actually block out Tuesday nights, we are offering something for everybody in the family, so that excuse no longer applies to you. You can come, and there's going to be men's ministry, there's going to be women's ministry, there's going to be children's ministry, and there's going to be student ministry, middle school and high school. Somebody for everybody in your family. We're going to start this, we're going to pilot this at our McKinley campus in hopes of hopefully bringing something similar to our smaller campuses. But McKinley's not that far away for those of us that live in this community. We can make it there, and it's worth the time there. I would highly encourage you to put that on your calendar. And part of that evening is going to be the first time ever we're going to get together, the first time ever in like years, we're going to get together a bunch of men and start a men's ministry. The first night, we're just going to hang out. We're going to hear from Pastor Paul a little bit, and we're going to share wings together. Who doesn't like some wings? We're going to get together and have that. It's going to be a fantastic time. So September 13th. And then specifically following up that, we're actually going to do a men's retreat. I mentioned it at the beginning. We haven't done this in a long time. I would encourage the men here at South Creek to put this on your calendar. I'm going to be there. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have it at Camp Hickory Hill, Saturday, September 24th from about 10 to 7. It's going to include two meals and archery, skeet shooting, ropes courses, zip line, all sorts of stuff that guys typically do enjoy doing. It's going to be a natural time to hang out, get to know each other, break down some walls, and enjoy life together. And then we're going to keep meeting over there. And then after that retreat, the men are going to continue meeting here at South Creek specifically. So I would highly encourage you to do that. Women's ministry, women's Bible study is going to start back up then. Again, student ministry starts up that week. Our student ministry started this morning at the loft. And so there's so many things to step into. But so don't allow the lie of isolation of loneliness stop you from stepping in and being a part of the body of Christ. Next week, we're going to talk about specifically the body of Christ and how you can engage in that way as well. But these are some simple ways. Because being a follower of Jesus Christ isn't just all about attending service on Sunday morning for 1 hour. It's far more than that. And it's not far more than that because of a duty or obligation you have to fulfill. It's far more than that because you'll just simply receive more and enjoy more in this life if you engage with the Lord beyond Sunday morning, both personally and publicly. We're going to talk about all of that in the next series. We're going to talk about, we have a worship series coming up in September that I'm super excited about. So you're not going to want to miss that either. We've got great things coming up, but we want you to be a part of these things. One of the other things that I hadn't mentioned yet, a lot of us experience maybe loneliness, yes, because we feel alone in crowded spaces, and that's probably one of the more common areas. But maybe you feel lonely this morning because of the loss of a loved one. I mean, a lot of times we walk through this life, and we walk through this life hand in hand with somebody. Maybe it's a spouse, a best friend, a family member, and all of a sudden they're gone. And then we think to ourselves, well, I can't grieve this person. You're not allowed to grieve them, or you can't, you're just not allowed to. And you live that lie. But in reality, the Lord wants us to grieve in a proper and healthy way. He wants us to draw into him, and he grieves along with us. Scripture says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. His heart breaks when our heart breaks. He's with us, and so we can grieve. And so maybe you're struggling with loneliness this morning because you are isolated. You are alone. You've lost somebody in your life, and you don't know how to move forward from it. Or you've lied to yourself, and you thought, I'm fine, but really, you haven't allowed yourself to process what has happened. We have an incredible ministry around here called Grief Share. And I want you to check out this video of a woman who kind of had that mentality. She thought, you know what, I don't really need this, but I'll give it a shot. And see what it did for her, and see what it can do for you if that happens to be you.
Hi, I'm Nancy Hellenberg. I thought I was probably doing okay because I was reading my Bible heavy into scripture and walking with the Lord. So I figured I didn't need grief share. When I received that letter, I thought, yeah, I could do that. I could do that. But when I got there, that was totally different. The first video told me, wow. This is good. This is so good. The video speakers were absolutely outstanding. They were just wonderful. We laughed, we cried. It was a wonderful group. And that meant so much. And to see the videos and do it together with people that are feeling the same as you is just wonderful. They answer questions that I had, and I don't know where I ever thought I was going to get the answers to those if I hadn't seen the videos. The way they talked was very applicable to my life. So if you've lost somebody and the pain is still there, I know you're feeling that you're doing okay. I felt that way. I really did. But I decided to go. It was the best thing I had done. the best, the very best thing.
Maybe that doesn't specifically connect with you at this point in your life. But some way, at some time, we're all going to experience the grief of the loss of a loved one. And regardless if that's what causes your loneliness, or the fact that you just don't feel like you have a relationship near you to share life with, you can, in fact, run to the Father. And as you pursue God, as you pursue Him, His Holy Spirit will reveal new ways and new relationships around you for you to engage in powerful ways. I want to read, actually, the lyrics of this last song because, don't worry, I'll put it back. As we were singing it, it's just a beautiful summary of everything we've talked about. This idea of the burdens that we have in this life, whether it's weariness or worry or fears or loneliness or many other things that we haven't even addressed this morning, it's powerful. Before I read these lyrics, though, I want us to stand one last time and read together Psalm 23 in its entirety and remember the fact that it is the Lord doing this work. And as He does this work, He wants to welcome us into the story and into the process and into the healing and into the victory. So let's read these words together, and then I'm going to highlight the song and we'll continue. Let's read. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely Your goodness will follow me all the days of my life. Do you believe that this morning, even in the midst of tension and trial and heartache and burden, that you can experience the victory of Jesus right now, today? The song lyrics say this, that we're going to sing together. I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear Your invitation to let it all go. I see it now. I'm laying it down, and I know that I need You. Acknowledging that the Lord is enough, I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. There's no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. You saw my condition. You had a plan from the start. Your Son for redemption, the price for my heart, the victory that we get to celebrate immediately today. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. All that I know is that I need You. Let's continue singing those words this morning and declaring the truth that's found in them.